Well, good afternoon. Hope everyone is doing great. We are doing good because we had a day off yesterday, Juneteenth, which is a very unusual time for our company to be off. But when the stock market is off, we're off. So today is June 20th, and this is season 5, episode 5, which means this is the fifth one we're doing this year. We're going to cover several things. Of course, what everyone wants to hear, what's going to happen to interest rates, especially after the Fed meeting. And then, of course, July is coming, and that's going to be a beginning of a new earnings season. So we're going to cover what do we expect there and how we think the market is going to fare. And then, believe it or not, we're only 138 days away from the election. It's not that far. So we're going to do an election forecast and then go over what some of the sectors we like. And then there's just a couple of client questions. We always welcome those. If you do have questions when you do sign up for your podcast, there is a place there that you can enter a question. And if the question is something we don't answer during our conversation, then we will answer it specifically. But if we're already addressing it in our questions and answer for me and Dryden, then obviously we will not address it. Okay, so with that, you know, we did have a Fed meeting on June 12th, believe it or not, just last week. And they changed their tune a little bit, which was not a surprise to us because CPI numbers are certainly coming in still pretty hot as far as inflation. So they did change their forecast. Where they're only forecasting now possibly one for this year and four next year. Dryden, do you want to elaborate on why is that and what, you know, is that a major change or is that something the market expected? And then what do we expect?
Sure. Well, I mean, we're now more than a year at 5.5% on the Fed funds rate. You know, and everybody's been, you know, speculating and dancing on the head of the Fed's pin, as I say, over the, you know, when are we going to pause? When are we going to, you know, when are we going to pivot, right? And the point of the matter is that the Fed is probably somewhat restrictive at this point. 550 is high enough that it slows things down, but not so high that it causes things to do so precipitously. So you're really just kind of seeing some of this excess demand bleed out of the economy to move from a torrid pace of growth to a sustainable pace of growth. And as that happens, they're going to be very data dependent. And they keep moving right on when do we pivot, right? When do we make the first cut? And we've almost reached this point that it doesn't matter. So it looks like we get one this year, maybe December. You know, there's nothing to justify. Inflation is still running hot enough that you're not in a position where you want to cut before then. So you now move from these adjustments taking place in 2024 to some of them taking place in 2025. And what I want to remind everybody of is a quarter basis point cut in the Federal Reserve's funds rate, or even a half, doesn't affect the consumer very much. It doesn't affect the consumer. When you're paying 12 to 15% on your credit cards, a quarter or a half basis point cut doesn't really affect your spending patterns. And the fundamentals here is that the U.S. economy is still very strong. And we want a strong economy. It's because we've got, you've heard me talk about this a number of times, about the underlying economy and how we've gone from 5.8 million more jobs from the height pre-pandemic to now at 6.1. That's adding trillions of dollars of demand to the economy. And so that really, I think that we're in this moment that they're gonna keep pushing right. Is it one cut this year? Is it two cuts this year? It's really irrelevant. You're going to have a series of cuts at some time, but it's probably gonna be slow. It's probably going to be methodical, and they're probably going to wait. And actually, that's what we would want, because that means the underlying economy is still doing very, very well. And that's an important piece. You're going to have some sectors that are going to hurt. You know, commercial office is going to hurt. Certain REITs are going to hurt. you know, certain real estate areas are going to hurt, but the fundamentals of the economy still seem to be doing well. The inflation piece, watch oil prices, right? That's the thing that moves the CPI around more than anything else right now. And if oil prices are down or muted, then gasoline prices are, and that then mutes the CPI. Fed's going to look at core PCE, core personal consumption expenditures. That's a more sticky number. It moves more slowly. So, Layla, to answer your question directly, we think that probably there's one cut. There might be two, but I think it's unlikely. And I think the cut comes in December. And the other side of that is the point I want to add is it really doesn't matter.
But there is an outside chance it could be in September if inflation comes down.
Inflation would have to come down dramatically. They'd have to have confirmation of it. So I think the likelihood of September, you would have to see things change a lot over the next 2 months. And we just don't see it, right? So you either, and then the November top target comes after the election. So, you know, don't be betting your portfolio or your business or anything on a quarter basis point in September. A, it's not necessarily likely, and B, it's not necessarily relevant.
Now, they're forecasting four cuts in 2025.
Yes, and at one point they were forecasting six cuts in 2024. So I think the point is they move that out. This is going to be a slow modulation. Are rates going to come down? Yes. Are they going to come down quickly? Probably not. Do we want them to come down quickly? Probably not. Because if they come down quickly, that means we're seeing a slowing in the economy, not a more, just move it to stable. So I really, there's almost too much focus on Fed interest rates. I think we really are based should be but focused more on the consumer and some of the other things that are out there. You just, you know, again, everybody keep an eye on oil prices. That's the thing that'll push stuff around. The most important statistic in my view of this market is how many people are working. You got 6.1 million more jobs, more people earning income than we did at the height pre-pandemic. That is bringing a couple of $1 trillion worth of aggregate demand in the economy. That's what's holding everything up. So watch not necessarily the unemployment rate, but the number of people with jobs. That's the thing to watch. And as long as that's pretty stable, I think we're in pretty good shape going forward. And that bodes well. I mean, again, real wages and salaries are the highest they've ever been. Labor productivity is the highest it's ever been. We've got 1.2 jobs for every person looking. None of that portends something that's going to be a massive slowdown in the economy. I said it a bunch of times. We've been moving at 90 miles an hour. We're going to slow down to 50 miles an hour. It may feel like we're standing still, but we're still moving 10 times faster than you can possibly walk.
And of course, you know, the next Fed meeting is July 31st. And that's why we scheduled our next podcast to be August 1st. So that, you know, if there's any changes in that forecast, we will know by then whether, you know, more or less the likelihood of interest rate cuts this year is changed from what we just talked about. The most important thing is that they're not going to go up. That is, we know for sure that the direction of the interest rate is lower. How fast or how quickly, that will depend on our economy and on inflation. And like Brad says, inflation seems to be sticky, and so. You know, it really, as far as the stock market goes, it, at this point, it's all more so like it's going to be about earnings as opposed to just interest rates.
The point you made about interest rates is a good segue into the next point I think I want to make. And that is that we now have stable cost of capital. Okay. Interest rate is nothing more than the price of money. And when you know the price of something, you're able to understand, manage, and build your margins around it. American businessmen are massively creative, and profits are all about your margin, right? And how much, what's your profit margin? And earnings are all about your profit margin. So now CFOs, chief financial officers of companies, know what their cost of capital is. They know how to price their holding period. They know how to price their cost of inventory. They know how to price their payments in terms of trade. They, you know, generally companies are finance their inventory rather than play it right out of their capital. And so that cost component is now known. And if it's known and, it, and the next move in interest rates are down, then it only has a chance to get better. So what all of that means, unless you're a financial corporation, what all of that means is that now you understand your cost of capital. Now you can build your margins. You know how to price your product for profit maximization, and you can actually build forward better than you had before. 2 years ago, no one knew how high interest rates were going to go. They had no idea what their costs were going to be. What does this mean? Here's the short answer. Earnings are going to be pretty darn good. More companies are making more money than they ever have before. We are headed into record earnings and record profits, both in 2024 and 2025 for the S&P 500. Record profits mean a record stock market. So we're in this moment where, yeah, we're hitting all-time highs, but we sort of should be hitting all-time highs because we're sort of should be got more making more money than we've ever made before. And so I'm not necessarily scared of this, but you have to be kind of clear-eyed about it. And we're going to see we've had multiple quarters of earnings records where 80% of the companies are beating. We're going to go into earnings season again here at the first of the month. And we think in our expectations are you're going to see about 80% of the companies are going to beat on earnings. We're out of the of the earnings recession, if you will, for the rest of the S&P 500. You know, all of the movement so far has been 7 times. The rest of the S&P 500 has not really participated as much. If you think about it, you add all the S&P 500 in, you get a PE ratio of 23. You pull out the 7 high flyers, you get a PE ratio of, you know, around 18, somewhere in there. So you actually have ability for these companies that are now really moving to profit maximization in the back half of the year to contribute more. That's where the stability and the growth of the market is going to come in the second half of the year, we believe. And so it's shaping up so that the market will probably, you know, be around here or better between now and the end of the year. On the way there, we probably will get a correction. Okay, you're going to draw down a 5%, a correction of 10%. It just, that happens, right? It happens about once a year. And so somewhere in here, we're going to have an opportunity to pick up some bargains. Market will pull back a little bit. We'll get an opportunity to buy some things. We're going to end up at the end of the year in a pretty good spot. So I think that it's just a matter of paying attention to fundamentals and pay attention to the reality. More companies are making more money than ever before. You got record profits, you're going to have a record market. That's generally the way that works, right? It's possible to have a record market when it is that you've got record profits. And the rest of it's just a bunch of bouncing around.
Like the bouncy ball. All right. Well, I'm getting a lot of questions on the elections. People are still worried about, you know, is this election going to have, you know, going to make the market crash? Should we be worried? Depending who wins, each side has a different view of what's going to happen to the market. And so can you cover, you know, what we think about that as long as, you know, we don't have a clean sweep?
Well, there's two pieces here. One is the presidential election and the other is the total election, right? So it means different things. So first of all, if you look at history, when a sitting president runs for re-election, it doesn't matter whether he's Republican or Democrat, it's just he's a sitting president running for re-election. The market is usually up 12.7%. Okay. And when you have a normal election year, it's up around 13%. Right. The point of the matter is you have the idea that one president or the other is going to tank the market is probably not correct. Okay. So this year, we're probably in a position where there will be an election, there will be an outcome. There will be volatility around that. Will it be permanent? Probably not, right? So again, it's one of those moments where I say, take advantage of volatility, don't be its victim. We know it's going to come. We need to be prepared for it and thoughtful about how we handle it. But it's not, these things are not devastating one way or the other. Now, the thing that's more important than the presidential election, and I mean this, is what's going to happen with the Senate. Now, if you look at the U.S. Senate and you look at the map, it is very, very likely that the Republicans pick up 3 or 4 seats in the Senate, and in doing so, they end up with the majority of the Senate. And when the Republicans win, we don't know whether the Republicans can win the House or not. The House is probably going to go to whoever wins the presidency, right? That's kind of how it works. But the Senate goes Republican. If the Senate goes Republican, what you're probably going to see is the ability to retain certain provisions of the tax law that Donald Trump put in during his first term that are very favorable to Americans, right? So the how we look at AGI adjustments or how we look at estate planning and adjustments, how we look at the issues around step up and basis, all of the things that are financial planning issues, Layla, that you bring up, the ability to retain some of those, or at least half of those, or forced to a negotiation, is very meaningful for our audience. So the good news in the election is this. Republicans probably win the Senate. That means that some of those tax provisions that are part of your planning process remain in place, and if reduced, are reduced a little. That is if becomes a Democratic House and a Democratic president. If you end up with a Republican House and Republican president, then you probably have a continuation of all of them. So that's kind of the good news that's out there on the politics. You know, and it's, boy, the latest poll came out and said Trump and Biden are within the margin of error. I'm not going to get in the middle of the fist fight over the presidency. We've got 138 days to go. Everybody knows a whole lot can happen. What we're really going to look at is what are the things that we can be somewhat assured of and make investment decisions around that. And that is that we're pretty confident.
Right. So basically, what you're saying is in the financial, we're not political here. Whatever side wins, most important is, for our audience and for our market, since we are dealing with corporate America, is the corporate tax rates and the corporate benefits and some retention of the current tax law that favors that is good for the stock market. So that is something that...
So ladies and gentlemen, do not panic. Whoever wins the presidency, it's not going to affect the market that much one way. It'll have a short-term effect, and the long-term seasonality stuff, you're probably still looking pretty good. Because in the end, it's stability of corporate profits. And right now, as long as the American consumer is doing all right, stability of corporate profits are there.
Which really brings us to the next thing, which, what are the sectors we like? Because, there's certain sectors out there that are really creating their own profits, like weight loss drug and artificial intelligence and many sectors that, technology and even small caps. We think that is an area that has underperformed and could be bouncing back up because they do well when interest rate drops. So if the forecast is for rates to drop later in this year and next year, we think that that's a really an undervalued area of the market.
Yeah, I want to add, there's a couple of things. Here's the other side of the presidential election. We like media content and streaming because $10 billion extra is going to be spent on ads. You might not like hearing a different ad every 2 seconds that's political in nature, but just remember, we do have the Content Leaders Unit Investment Trust in most portfolios, and that's tied to those kind of things, and those companies are making money. And so every time you hear a political ad, rather than get irritated, just go cha-ching. And I think that will be all right. I think that
is cha-ching a new financial word?
Okay. It is for me. But I think the key moment here is that this is the key thing to understand. The market has moved forward reasonably well this year, but it's been led by just a few stocks. The rest of the market is functioning in an area that's got a strong economy. They're coming out of what one would call a earnings recession. And so the leadership in the back half of this year is going to come from something other than NVIDIA, right? It's going to come from something in the rest of the 493, and it's a firming up of profits earnings. So we get strength into the foundation of this economy in the back half of the year. And I think that's going to be good resiliency going forward in the markets. And so, you know, again, tech, small caps, tech, cyclicals, you know, you got weight loss, and streaming content, all of those things are sectors that we like. We still like defense. You know, peace is not going to spontaneously break out all over the world. So I think that we're going to be in a situation that we're going to position accordingly. And the American consumer is still doing good. And boy, if you give an American money right now, they spend it. And they're going to continue to do that, and that increases aggregate demand, and that's a good thing for all these companies.
And you know, that spending power is coming from inflation. People are making more money, getting raises. It's also coming from increases in Social Security benefits. It's coming also from interest income on investment accounts and stock accounts and CDs and bank accounts. So there's many sources of increased cash flow that was not here just a few years ago.
And I want to bring, here's something that is going to be interesting for people. We get a lot of questions. One of the questions has been about our deficit and about, you know.
This is the next point question. You might as well address it now.
Yeah, we'll jump in right now. So a robust economy, and I know that we have a large debt and we've got to pay that down, but a robust economy creates robust earnings. Robust earnings creates robust tax receipts. And one of the things to pay close attention to is you're probably going to see greater tax receipts on earned income and greater tax receipts on their investment income. Just people earning money on interest, right? People earning money in a lot of different places. So I think that as we move forward into this space, you know, one has to be very cautious and recognize that, yes, we're going to have a drawdown at some point. Yes, we have a correction at least every 12 months. Probably going to happen. We already had a drawdown of 5% this year. Look how quickly we recovered. But the point is probably going to happen. But what does that mean? That means that you just got an opportunity because something that has good long-term potential just went on sale. And I think that's the thing that we try to make sure that we have a competitive advantage around, is when you see some volatility come into a market that is fundamentally strong, right? Now you have the opportunity to pick up a bargain at a price that's going to give you good accretive earnings going. So I think that we're just, you know, this is singles and doubles, folks. You know, you had a couple home runs, you had the NVIDIA and these other things, you had a few things that hit home runs all the first part of the year. From here on out, we're going to play singles and doubles in the back half of the year all the way to the end. And that's probably what it's going to look like. And it'll be against the backdrop. There's going to be some volatility. Okay, we get it all the time. It'll be fine.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, we sure covered a lot. And definitely want to make sure that you remember August 1st, the day after the next Fed meeting, which could be an important one because it could tell us a bit more about inflation or about interest rates for the rest of the year. So August 1st, which is a Thursday at 3:00, it'll be our next podcast. So we invite you all to sign up and join us and have a great rest of the summer off. And we are here for you. If you have any questions about anything we covered today or anything at all with your accounts or more specific or want to address anything that we covered, please contact us, the investment team, the advisors, and we'll be happy to help. Have a good rest of the night, And
thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. This one's a little shorter than normal because, well, things are moving along okay. Thank you all very much. We'll see you next time. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Layla Pence is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Dryden Pence is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. The financial professionals affiliated with PWM are registered representatives with and securities and investment advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Pence Wealth Management PWM and LPL Financial are separate entities.